All right, welcome to July 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And I want to start today's program by wishing my wife a happy birthday, and I probably will do that again throughout the show. But the main reason why I do the show is because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully you're listening because you're also a proud patriotic American. So with that said, let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everyone stand up, face the flag, and put our right hand over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that is how we do things here in America. Now, on to today's program.
Braddock and Washington are soundly defeated by French and Indian forces at Monongahela.
And John Blondell invents the donut hole. All right, so now let's do this.
1755. Braddock is soundly defeated in the Battle of Monongahela by French and Native American forces. Major General Edward Braddock Jr., son of another major general for the British Coldstream Guards, had fought for the British Army in the War of Austrian Succession, now is coming over to North America to clean up the mess that Lieutenant Colonel George Washington had left in his defeat trying to defend Fort Necessity in present-day Fayetteville County, PA, against French and Indian forces. Washington had already proven his toughness, determination, and skill at the ripe old age of 23, and learned a lot in his recent defeat. While getting captured in that battle, he dealt with panic, fear, and loss, and frankly was lucky to be released so he could make it back safely to his Virginia regiment. Braddock was dispatched to North America to try and wedge the French away from the Native Americans in the Ohio Valley and Great Lakes areas. Along with two regiments of 1,500 men, Braddock slowly prepared to take over the French at Fort Duquesne in present-day Pittsburgh. Washington told Braddock that the enemy would use horses. Braddock instead used wagon trains. Washington told Braddock that the French and Native Americans would use the element of surprise, and Braddock instead cut down wilderness from Cumberland, Maryland, through the Allegheny Mountains, which took about 2 miles per day. In Braddock's defense, it's not exactly uncommon for a major general to poo-poo the advice of a young whippersnapper like Washington, especially considering Washington had just surrendered Fort Necessity, which, by the way, would be his only surrender, except for when he surrendered his heart to future wife Martha. Aww. Anyway, those wagon trains were moving way too slowly, so he sent forward a 1,400 man militia to start making some progress. And on this day in 1755, Braddock tried to cross the Monongahela River, which left him dead to rights in the Native American ambush. Now, tacticians are trained to deal with distractions while crossing an obstacle in battle and how to defend yourself. But Braddock was not a great tactician like his father, and down he went when a musket went into his belly. Now, Washington would have to clean up Braddock's mess of crossing the Allegheny River without any recon, preparing for contingencies, and losing control of the mission. The Native American forces would attack and withdraw, luring British soldiers into the wilderness, getting them lost, making them easy targets. Braddock would succumb to his wounds 4 days later, but for now would whisper to Washington to retreat. These days, in Allegheny County, Braddock is the name of a thoroughfare. There's Mount Braddock, Mount Hills, North Braddock, as well as various streets and schools in Pittsburgh, Maryland, and Virginia named after him. He also taught a young George Washington that ambush, surprise, and withdraw in skirmishes is a battle that could be won against the British 20 years later. To be continued. 1896. Bryan delivers the Cross of Gold speech. At the 1896 Democratic National Convention, Nebraska Representative William Jennings Bryan argued his support in favor of free silver to hopefully end the current economic panic. Farmers in the West and the South were fed up with bankers not lending out gold. In fact, they still had $300 million plus left over in greenback paper money still in circulation. Since the Coinage Act of 1873, or the Crime of 73 as it was called by many, silver money was taken out of circulation and gold was the sole specie. The obscure Nebraska politician's father was a Greenbacker, but saw the collapse of that party. Bryan therefore took the silver route to gain interest and led the way to a presidential election in 1896 versus Ohio Representative William McKinley in perhaps the most fiercest U.S. election in post-Civil War history, which I'll have to get to another day. Rather, it was on this day in Chicago, the day of the 1896 DNC, a day where the money issue was the topic that all U.S. senators were giving their speeches, and then it was some guy named William Jennings Bryan who came up on stage and argued his point, quote, "We say in our platform that we believe that the right to coin money and issue money is a function of the government. We believe it. We believe it is a part of sovereignty. Those who are opposed to this proposition tell us that the issue of paper money is a function of the bank and that the government ought to get out of the banking business. I stand with Jefferson rather with them and tell them as he did that the issue of money is a function of the government and that the banks should get out of the governing business," unquote. Bam! Excuse me, Congressman Bryan. Did you just stick out your proverbial middle finger at the jaws of the mightiest monster on earth? Yeah, and he wasn't done with a speech that would otherwise get most politicians assassinated. Bryan correctly pointed out that in no time in the history of civilization anywhere have the masses of the people chose the gold standard as a way, but rather one can only find the money makers in charge of the gold standard and challenge the money maker, quote, "If they dare to come out to the open field and defend the gold standard as a good thing, we will fight them to the uttermost. We will answer their demands for a gold standard by saying to them, you shall not press down upon the brow of labor this crown of thorns. You shall not crucify mankind under a cross of gold." Unquote. Can you say mic drop, boys and girls? This speech, which, by the way, amazingly enough, is available on audio. If you Google it, you can hear it, even though it's ancient quality and tough to decipher. After his speech, nobody said a word as Bryan walked back to his seat. But by the time he did get to his seat, the crowd had roared in applause, lifted this man, William Jennings Bryan, a man who just a few minutes ago was virtually unknown, up into the air and instantly nominated him as the leading candidate for the Democratic Party for the next three elections, all of which he would lose. And last but definitely not least, 1872, the donut hole is born. Made with a donut cutter patented by John Blondell of Thomaston, Maine. The donut hole, everybody.
So that's going to wrap it up, scholars, for July 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's show on the comment board. Did you wish Teresa a happy birthday?
What if you were General Braddock? Would you have taken Washington's advice more seriously? How about that cross of gold speech? Imagine how history would have changed if Bryan had become president.
Or what about the donut hole? I mean, I know that a lot of people think that it's silly. Come on. Too lazy to eat a whole donut? So yeah, let me know what you think. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about the monkey trial,
a giant monster truck, and Death Valley.
So until then, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you then.